Hi, this is Russ again. We're at session number 4, and we're going to do the second half. So this is session 4, part B, and we have entitled the beginning of this application of ministry, doing the Freedom Encounter. It involves your preparation. It involves applying ministry after you've done the mapping and diagnosis, after you've looked over what the issues are. Whatever they may be, whatever traumas, pains, issues, sins, and so forth. It's applying what Jesus did. Everywhere Jesus went, he brought them to freedom encounters. Now listen, a freedom encounter is never a freedom encounter unless it means you're getting out of the bondage and into the promised land. Some people, and I remember one time I was ministering some bikers, and this one biker said, "Hey man, you've got to go to my friend, you've got to go to him, you know him, and get him off the alcohol and the anger and the suicide, but don't give him any religion." I could not comply with that. Of course I was going to give him Jesus and the kingdom of God and the eternity and grace and mercy and God's awesome love. This is the Jesus who amazed people in the Gospel of Mark. Take a moment this week and read through Mark, where they're amazed at the ministry of Jesus. And people will be amazed at what Jesus is doing through your life and into their life. They're going to be hopefully going away, not just tattooing our names to anything whatsoever, but they're just going away saying, "Look what Jesus has done for me," like in Mark 5. And so this is always a freedom encounter, is always, like we see in Mark 5, a freedom, a coming out of bondage into Christ and his power and freedom. So it's very important that we understand that process, and that we're not really leading them all the way unless it's freedom from the bondages and sins and issues, trauma and whatever else, and then into the salvation, grace, mercy, healing, freedom, deliverance, operative power of Jesus, his kingdom, eternity, all of which is found in salvation. We were on page 12 at point 9, and I want to go back to pathways. When I say pathways, I mean someone that comes in and starts talking about their spouse, and their whole trouble is their spouse, or their whole trouble was their mother, or their whole trouble was their neighbor, or their whole trouble is a boss. Well, that's a pathway to another individual. And it may mean that other individual comes in, or that, you know, other bottom line is you're going to have to minister to them in such a way that they find freedom in Jesus and the resolve and the solution from the things that have occurred, and appropriate instruction concerning the patterns and practices. They may need to exchange how they handle a person. It may involve forgiveness and so forth. It may involve a spiritual development of a grandfather that is a high-level Mason that has prayed over and done stuff over his whole family line, and that you get a sense of that. And simply, there's no prohibition in Scripture over this issue. Just simply renounce. I renounce anything in my, you know, our bloodline, my grandfather's open doors to the demonic. I reject and renounce any family spirits, familiar spirits, and any curse that was put on me from so-and-so. You know, those are the kind of things that we need to do. Also, when it comes to outside sources affecting the person in front of you, their responses and them learning how to respond and exchange patterns too. Well, point 10 is action throughout the entire freedom encounter. Now, the action, of course, is God is operating. And there's times you can see as they might feel guilty, or as they look shocked, or all of a sudden they remember something, they begin to cry, or all of a sudden they just grip the grace of Christ and they release something, they feel relieved. There's action that goes on through a freedom encounter. Again, whether on the field or in an office. And so there's operative work of the Spirit of God. If you're working in an operation, and I'll have a session just on team where you minister and, you know, with somebody with you. Jesus sent them out by twos, where somebody else also operating by the leading of the Spirit of God, giftings and workings and so forth that God has in them, and they add to that ministry encounter, and they bring grace that maybe you didn't see a certain thing and they did, or they have a particular gifting and you don't, and it's better. to do it that way. So that's very important there too. So there's action throughout. Action involves leading them to repentance, giving them instruction in the Word of God, speaking what the Lord wants you to speak to them, telling them what you're seeing, rebuking a demon and commanding it to leave. All that involves action throughout. It's redemptive action. And you see Jesus always in action as he's ministering. And it involves questions and answers and persuasion, all led by the Spirit of God too. Point 11 on page 12. What does God reveal and say? Part of the whole thing, after everything else is going on, what is God revealing that they never would tell you? What is God revealing that maybe they don't know about? What is God saying? You know, if you get a perception of God wanting to speak to them a word, bring to them a word of scripture, of faith to them, if all of a sudden you perceive and God's revealing to you that a certain sin is in their life or a certain abuse occurred in their life or something that they're not seeing or confessing, because remember Proverbs 28:13, that whoever conceals their sins shall not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them shall find mercy from the Lord. And you might have to help. As the Spirit of God used Nathan to confront David, that was a freedom encounter, my friends. David was agonizing. His bones were burning, man. He was just crippled in his sleep, crippled in his walk because of the sins that he committed and his unrepentant and his sense of hiding that can of worms, until God sent Nathan to speak it out and bring it out and deal with him and say, "You are the man." You, listen, counselor, pastor, friend, brother and sister in Christ, you will have to do the same things at times. As God gives you wisdom to ask a question, and when they answer it, they're caught. They have to confess. And that's grace. That's God pulling it on the table and getting them to confess instead of conceal, so that they can find mercy from the Lord. Otherwise, they won't. So don't be afraid to say what you need to say and speak what you need to speak, because if it's going to involve the mercy, grace, and compassion of the Lord, even when it's, you know, a notheto, confronting them face to face over an issue, when you have to tell them they've got to repent over a certain area. Well, they hurt me so much, I'm going to hate them the rest of my life. But Jesus says, you're a believer now, and you've got to forgive, and you got to quit having anger against them, and you got to quit hating. No, I'm not going to do it. Well, then, you know, that's where that whole issue of the will comes in, and yieldness to God. And again, God teaching us what is best for us and leading us in the way that we should go. If we want the best and we want the leadership of the Lord, then we've got to go his way and his will, according to Romans 12. You can read it too. As we surrender to the Lord, as we make ourselves a living sacrifice to Christ, no longer being conformed to the patterns of the world, which includes its attitudes, its statements, its living, its behaviors, but instead letting our minds be transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit, renewed and so forth, and that we can discern the will of God, good, pleasing, and perfect. Can't get any higher than that. You're leading them to the good, perfect, and pleasing will of God. Point 12. As you're leading somebody through and out of the bondage and out of the can of worms, and you're dealing with all the issues and healing and deliverance and help and counsel and words and repentance and all the stuff is occurring, you're leading them from recovery to victory. And they're not to live the next 20 years of their life in recovery sessions. You know, that they recover, you know, that's all they do is recover. God's wanting, you know, God delivers them to get into the promised land, as we've been saying. And God wants them to have victory. Victory over sin, victory over the devil, victory over the world. That's all spelled out, whether in the book of Romans or the book of 1 John. Victory, Nike, decisive victory in Christ. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith in Christ. I write to you young men, 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, because you are strong, you've overcome the evil one, because the word of God lives in you. So from recovery to victory. If they just get the pressure and the guilt and the pain off of them and they feel relieved, oh, I'm good now. No, God wants you to be now in the Word. God wants you to learn how to pray. God wants you to put the armor of God on. God wants you to be filled with the Spirit of God. God has a word for you. Just like when Saul of Tarsus got saved, Ananias came over and laid his hands on him and prayed for him to be filled with Spirit. Those big things on his eyes fell off, of course, so he could see again because he was blinded. But the disciple told Paul, which was Saul at the time, the Lord wants you to be filled with the Spirit and to know His will. To know what is, you know, that God's going to call him to do ministry, to know what God wants you to do. And so we need to speak that to people, and that's exciting. It's exciting to be to know that you're called to take up the cross and follow Christ and to give specifics about that. And that God wants them. And He does. We've been chosen in Christ to bear fruit. The privilege is knowing Him, worshiping Him. But there is mission, and it's exciting and fruitful and very satisfying also. So point 12 is moving them from the recovery to victory in Christ. 13, from victory to God's calling and will, which kind of goes hand in hand, leading to God's calling, to God's will. God may give you a word for that for them. God may be, you know, expressing Himself. The Spirit of God wants that believer who's been through all that junk, been through all that pain, now surrendered to Jesus, to keep that victory, to keep that healing in the sense of this sense, that they don't open doors to the enemy, they don't open doors to traumatic pain, they don't go out and have a bad sexual relationship outside of the will of God, only to incur more pain, more sin, more issues of guilt, to stop and do the right thing. And then we have on point 14, part of the other issue that we got to deal with is this. From victory to God's calling and will, then others. Relational ministry. Relational ministry is this, in the sense that others that were affected, a boyfriend, a husband, a wife, kids, family line, you might want to really begin to pray and maybe work with them to say, listen, do you think your father might want to come in and we'll pray with him, or I'll go visit him, or do you think your aunt who's been involved in this wicked thing that opens you up to it, if we can go visit her and share Christ? The web of ministry around one individual. I mean, think of a cult multiple coming in, somebody who has multiple personalities, they've been ritually abused satanically, they are really high complex in the sense that they've got many personalities and trained personalities on the inside, they are demonized highly, the others involved, you better believe, family line, bloodline, you better believe that where they've been placed in jobs and other things, that they're going to have individuals that are going to be coming after them, handlers, all kinds of things can happen in that situation. So what I'm saying simply in point 14, others, is that if you've prayed for somebody to be released from a family line spirit, or they've opened the door themselves to demonic stuff, and then you've prayed for their family, and they've renounced the demons and renounced the stuff, and they come to burn all their junk that they have, and you need to pray for their kids, and they need to renounce things and pray for their kids. And you might want to take a moment to have them bring their kids in and just politely and beautifully pray over the kids with the authority of Christ in a very beautiful way. And so just, again, listen to the Lord about, is there any other ministry to do with other people connected to this person in front of you? If they're gaining, if they're going from recovery to victory, because they're free from some of the bondages or all the bondages, and now they're moving into victory, well, they go from victory to God's calling and will and doing mission, finding their giftings and callings, growing in the Lord that way, and then who around them? Who around them needs ministry? As I mentioned in the first part of session 4, I think it was, or what maybe it was in session 3, about a person I did a freedom encounter with that lived in Canada. And so I did a thing over the phone. I didn't say it was a freedom. We just did it over the phone, probably about an hour or so, and ministering both in just counsel of the word, prayer, deliverance, renunciation, all kinds of things we did. And then this person then begins to minister to other people, another person clear into Hungary. And now we're going to be engaged because now he's going to have us minister to this person from Hungary, a girl who's been ritually abused by parents who's on the run. So see what it gets us involved in. It gets us involved to a lot of things. And so the person you're affecting, just like I mentioned earlier, too, about a church down the road, 10,000 members or more, a minister to one person, another person, they found deliverance and healing in Jesus, freedom. And so they went back to their Sunday school class and told people. They came back. The psychologist at the church started bringing people to us, sitting in the sessions. And even the psychologist came to us and said one time, I want to tell you something. After last week and what I saw, I went before the Lord to get myself cleaned up and deal with anything that the enemy that real demons might, you know, affect me or have a doorway to. And so I was very glad. And they were very, this person was very excited in the Lord too about what God was doing. But they go back and tell another person. So there's relational ministry in that sense. And be excited because you get to minister to somebody else. Don't forget to take care of yourself and your family and your fun time and free time and so forth. Jesus said, come ye apart and rest. You heard what somebody wrote about that, right? What Jesus really meant was, come ye apart and rest, lest ye come apart. Well, there's times that you need to get time with the Lord and time with other things. I have so many cases and so many things around me, but I take time. I take time off. I love to be with my child. I love to be with my wife. And I love going to the woods to jog. I love reading other books and materials. And used to have a motorcycle that I can get on a ride. And Lord willing, I'll have another one here in the future. And I love riding big old heavy-duty motorcycle. So, but that doesn't take me away from the fact that we pursue the ministry of, you know, individuals. And sometimes an entire family could be ministered to and helped out. And you can set the course of that family and see God change it. If God can give revival to nations, to local churches, he can surely give it to an entire family. Point 15, page 12. What else? That's what I keep saying that we should say towards the end. When we're seeing some great things, or even when they've left, or they're going to come back for a post-deliverance counseling session, a post-inner healing counseling session, a post, you know, whatever. If they're going to come back, and here's what you need. Are they, listen, here's some things we need to really, are they saved, healed, set free, and moving up and on in Christ? Are they in the Word, worship, prayer, and are they discipled? I mean, are they discipled? Do they know how to go to the Bible and read Scripture and receive from the Lord and know the foundational things and know that the Lord will never leave them or forsake them, and, you know, how they can come before the throne of grace to express their needs in times of trouble? So they need discipleship. They also, every Christian should be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the will of God, Ephesians chapter 5. And so have you prayed with them to be filled with the Holy Spirit and the conscious power of God and becoming a witness for Christ, telling others about Jesus? Just like the guy in Mark 5, Jesus said, go tell them what the Lord did for you. The Lord saved you, delivered you, changed your life, changed your mental state, changed your emotional state, changed where you lived, changed how you dressed, changed yourself from cutting yourself to taking care of yourself. Are they filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and can they give a witness about their walk in Jesus? Do they know their spiritual gifts? Isaiah 48:17, I say it again, that God teaches them, us, what is best and leads us in the way we should go. That is awesome. New Agers and others might out there be saying, you know, hey, we got spirit guides. Well, I got a spirit. I got the Holy Spirit guiding my life. I have the Holy Spirit. Jesus is guiding my, he's a living Christ in me. And he's guiding my life. That's why I don't need to go to psychics and other people and get bits and pieces of junk. And you don't either. And people don't either. It only takes them further away from the Lord and does not lead them to the best and the way they should go. God, who is infinite, immeasurable, knows it all, cares about it all, knows how to guide us. Well, let me say in the very end here in part D on page 12 is this. This is very important also. The post-freedom encounter. So that you've gone through everything with them. And again, we're applying freedom encounter right now to any kind of person. Now, I'll have sessions where we deal just with multiples because I know some want to do just that. But I'm telling you now that a freedom encounter can be done in an office, you know, in the church. It can be done in 10 minutes in some cases, and an hour, a couple hours in others, or over a period of 5, 6, 7 sessions. Because God can keep going on and dealing with another thing and another thing and another thing. Whatever those can of worms are, whatever's inside, God's got to search, and you've got to have perception, and they've got to come to confession and sharing and telling, and God's going to minister to them. There's nothing that he can't minister to. Nothing that he doesn't want to minister to their life in the sense of this, that he wants to take them out of the bondage, whatever it is, sin, Satan, hell, all the issues, take them out of it and into the promised land. into grow, into Christ, into growing, into development, into destiny. Very important for their lives. Yeah, it seems complex for some. Sometimes it's just incredible. In a half hour, some things occur, and there's people that have gotten such, you know, blessing and release from the Lord. And I don't really see them again. I might hear from them once, but they're on their way. They're on their life. I don't need to be, you know, you're not going to be able to be connected to everybody. They might be thankful to you. That's fine. They need to be more thankful to Jesus. They need to be more thankful to the Lord Jesus and continue to grow in Him and find Him as their all in all. That's how I find Jesus. And His Word is more superior to the counselors out there and all that. So we can minister deeply, but after they've been ministered to, if you perceive they need another meeting, and you want them to come back and be ministered to another session for the sake of discipleship, for the sake of something else, that's your perception. And then you just continue to do all, and then release them and bless them. They don't need you any longer. They need Jesus. They need the Spirit of God. They don't need you. God's using your life, and it's an awesome thing. But all the hundreds and hundreds of people, you know, that I've dealt with over the years, you know, thousands at this point, they don't need me. I'm glad to have known many of them. I'm glad to see the power of God change lives. In some cases, sad to see that they wouldn't respond or they wouldn't do things. Jesus is ready to minister. He's ready to save. Some people say, well, people aren't ready to get, you know, God's not ready to save. No, God's ready. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 6. Now is the day of salvation. Now, God's ready to save now. He calls people now. He calls them to surrender now. He calls them to into obedience now. Jesus had to deal with them in the Gospel of Mark. They were so slow to believe with the prophets. He rebuked them for their slow development of faith. That was the disciples. And that's okay. Let him rebuke you. Let him rebuke me. All I can care about, you know, is to honor Jesus, to do a better ministry working, and that God will continue to equip me more, and realize what's happening out there in the broader way, let alone in the individual way. So if you need them back for some reason in a post-Freedom Encounter session, know what it's about. Are you there to try to connect them to a church, get them introduced to a pastor or some group, ministry group in a church or small group from a local church? Whatever that might be, make sure they've been taken care of. Just make sure they've been taken care of. When it comes to cult multiples and other things, there's a lot of more protection issues and where they're going to live. And man, we've gone as far as flying into another state and extracting an individual overnight. That's a lot to do. That was a Freedom Encounter also. It involved a lot. And there's a lot of things we need to do. Remember Saul of Tarsus, it became Paul preaching Jesus. They had to put him in a basket and lower him outside the wall for his protection and so forth. So there's a lot of things, my friends, that we need to be able to do in ministry. And we need to go back to this awesome, joyful mountain, Zion, where there's an assembly of thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. We need to worship God, and we need to march like we're marching around Jericho. We need to be strong in the Lord and His mighty power, right? And we need to, you know, as God commanded Joshua in Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you to do not be discouraged or you know, to be terrified, but instead to be strong and courageous, because God says this, for the Lord your God shall be with you wherever you go. Hey, God bless you, my friends. This is the second part of Session 4, and we'll move on to Session 5 and 6 in the next two times. The Lord bless you. Father, I pray for everyone studying and everyone hearing these, and however providentially, you know, they get a hold of these and have taken the materials. Lord, I just ask you to bless them, broaden, strengthen, help, minister into their lives. God, may you give them, may the God of hope give you, I pray for you, that he give you all joy and all peace as you trust in Christ, so that you will overflow with this incredible, indefeatable, optimistic, divine optimism from God, hope. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is Russ Dizdar from ShatterTheDarkness.net. This is the course Freedom Encounters.